Now, this morning, we began this word in a title of it, Scatter Your Enemies. We all have enemies because we're in a war, and God does not want us walking around as the victims. But he's already overcome for us so that we can be victorious. We can be victors. In fact, we're more than conquerors, the Bible says, through him who loved us. In Christ, we're overcomers. And so God wants us to learn how to scatter our enemies. And, of course, we talked about the Ark of the Covenant, that when Moses would take up the Ark before they would launch out and move from one location to the next, they would quote this this passage of Scripture. It's from Psalm 68. In verse 1, he says, "Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let those who also hate him flee from before him." But Moses would say, "Let God arise and his enemies be scattered." And that's in Numbers 10:35. So it was whenever the ark set out that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee from before you." And so every time that they set out, you know, and the ark was in the camp and they were following the ark, there was deliverance, there was victory over their enemies. And then when they would settle down, they would say, "Lord, return to your people." In other words, now we want to be able to rest also in you. There's a time to move out and there's a time to rest. We need to know the difference. If God is saying we're moving out and you want to sit back and rest, are you with me? Then you're going to miss out. Or if you're trying to move out and God says it's time for you just to settle down and be still and know that I'm God. There are times, there are seasons in our lives, right, for everything. So we need to know, what is God doing? Is he moving now? If he's moving, I got to be with him. If God is telling me just to be patient right now, to wait on him, then I just need to do that. But we shouldn't move until we get our directions from him. Amen? Moses was the front man. He was the one that God chose to lead his people. And so when God would speak to Moses, it's time to move, then they would move. But they could not move until Moses got the word to move. How many know that Moses is a type of our Lord Jesus? Amen? And we need to hear his voice when he says, it's time for you to press on. It's time for you to get up and move out. Amen? You've been sitting here too long. It's time to move now. And then when the time comes, God will say, okay, you've done well. It's time for you to rest. I want you just to place yourself right here where I put you and bloom where you're at. And then my glory, my presence will cover you. I will be your comforter. I will be your warmth at night. Amen? And your shade during the day. He's our comforter. And so the Ark of the Covenant, again, it was symbolic of his divine presence. And wherever the Ark of God was, the enemies of God would be subdued or displaced. And it was by the presence of God that the enemies of God were defeated. And wherever the Ark of God was, the environment was radically influenced. So it's the presence of God that defeats our enemies. I mentioned this morning, I'm going to say it again, but someone had said, and it was good, that praise is toxic to the devil. Praise is toxic to the devil. If you want to get them out of your hair, get them out of your environment, amen, start praising the Lord. Amen. And again, we need to know what is true. In the first article of the armor that is mentioned in Ephesians 6 and verse 13 is what? The belt of truth. Truth holds everything together. Your life will fall apart if you're not grounded in the truth of God's word. And one of the truths is this, is that it is, this battle is really God's battle. Because what we're facing is something that we cannot humanly overcome. That is why I think America, even though we're so prosperous, and the world envies us, and many people in the world would love to be in America and have what we have. But sometimes those people, when they come over here, it destroys them, especially if they're people of faith. Because they get into the prosperity of America and they quickly forget God. How many know the church in America has forgotten God? A lot of it. Yes. And it's time for us to wake up and get back to God. And God is taking the toys away because he wants to get our attention as a nation. because God is not willing that this nation would perish. God loves America. He loves us. He loves our nation. And God has a plan for America, and He has had a plan throughout the generations. However, you know, sometimes God has to take us behind the shed and get our attention. And we know that this battle is not by might nor power, amen, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of God. We need to understand this is bigger than we are, but God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to His mighty power. That's at work where? In us who are believers. And in the Psalms of Ascent, in Psalms 127 and 1, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Because, you know, let's face it, folks, for some believers, there was the conversion, you know, that first experience where they said, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. And God touched the candle of their heart, amen, and they became spiritually alive. Anybody remember that time when you were born again and you became spiritually alive? And then it was all downhill from there. Come on, somebody has to say amen here. You see, the problem is conversion is not the end. And yet a lot of people think it is. They think it's just, you know, I'm coming to Jesus now and I say this ABC prayer, ask, believe, confess, you know. Acknowledge, believe, confess, whatever it is. And now I'm good. I'm good. And they go right back out into the world and they get swallowed up by it. And it's all downhill. And as a matter of fact, things seem to get worse for some people rather than better. All of a sudden, you turn coat on the enemy and he's not happy about it. And he wants you back. And so he's going to work real hard to get you to go back into Egypt. He gets you out in the wilderness where God tests you to try you to know what's in your heart so He can teach you to listen to His voice and learn His voice and know of His faithfulness and know of His love for you and His provision, His protection. He takes you into the wilderness, but then the enemy's whispering in your ear and say, God doesn't love you. He brought you out into this place to kill you. You're better off going back to Egypt, you know. And the enemy wants to do what? He wants to keep us tethered to the old life. And as long as we have affections for the old life, as long as you have them ropes, amen, you're roped in there somewhere to what was, Satan's got a hold of you. He's going to continue to mess with you. He's not going to let you go. And Jesus said, I want you to be free indeed, completely free, completely out of Egypt, every tether severed, amen, in His name. And come out, He said to the children of Israel, for 3 days. That's a good distance away from what was. Amen. Keep a separation from the old life. And so for we're talking about, you know, God's supernatural ability to destroy and to confuse and to scatter our adversaries, which are many. And the weapons of our warfare, again, are not carnal of human origin, but they're mighty in God, to the pulling down of strongholds, these places, amen, where the enemy has established a camp in your life. And God says, I want every stronghold demolished because I've already overcome it. And you just need to receive what I've done for you. Do you know you can't make it happen? You just need to receive it and it will happen. You need to believe what God says. This is a thing of faith, isn't it? Faith is believing that what God promised is true. And the enemy wants to magnify the problem. He wants to magnify the addiction. He wants to make the addiction look bigger than your God. That's all he's got is deception. He tries to get people to believe the lie and to say, oh, it's just so big. It's just so bad. You're just never going to be free from this thing. And then when you fall and you make the mistake, he just loves to kick you while you're down and keep kicking you while you're down. And God says, here, give me your hand. I'll help you up. Call on me and I'll send him flying. Are you with me? Start praising the Lord and he will flee because it's toxic to him. Amen. And this morning I mentioned about thanksgiving. You know, Israel in the wilderness, they very quickly forgot God's goodness, what God had done for them, the miraculous power of God demonstrated for them in Egypt and being brought out in such a miraculous way. and even brought through the Red Sea. You know, they saw the miracles of God and so quickly forgot. And that's why we need to remember the word of our testimony. We need to remember what God has done for our life. And we need to keep that which happened then into the now. Amen. Remember the hole from whence thou was, what, dug. Remember what God has done for you. And understand that that same grace then is available now. And you overcome the devil by keeping the word of your testimony before him and say, but God. Yeah, you did this to me, but God intervened and God did this for me. And that same grace then is available now in Christ. So Israel forgot, and instead of praising God for the manna and the water, come on, you know, it might not have been what they expected, but God was taking care of them. They started to grumble. If we had only gone back to Egypt. They actually believed that God would bring them out into the wilderness, you know, that Moses had brought them out there to destroy them. And, you know, we mentioned it this morning, and I mentioned hearing from a young man who made the comment, you know what, sometimes I feel more comfortable behind bars than I do outside in freedom. And you ask the question, how can anybody say that or even think that? Well, it's the same reason the Israelites, you know, began to grumble and complain in the wilderness, is they were used to being slaves. They were used to being in bondage. It was their way of life, and they actually got comfortable in bondage. Can I suggest to you that there are Christians who have become comfortable in bondage? Is it true that Christians can become comfortable in bondage? We can get used to being in bondage. And in a situation like that, you know, we've got to change our thinking. We have to repent. We have to change our minds. We have to say, God, but what do you say? God says, my way is not your way, but my way is the best way. My way is life. And if you want to find life, you're going to discover it first through the cross. You're going to discover it in the place where you come to the end of yourself. And you find out that your life is inferior to my life. I want to give you my supernatural life. You want to hold on to your old life, but I want you to understand that my life is superior. It is a superabundant life, and you're not going to discover it as long as you're tethered to Egypt and to the ways and the thinking of Egypt. So you have to cut those things off. You have to forsake those things. You have to die daily, that you might discover God as being your all in all, your all-sufficient God, El Shaddai, and that His life is the abundant life. And even in the wilderness, they were discovering that God was going to provide for them supernaturally. They didn't have to work for anything. Everything was given to them in that place. God wants His people to understand the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. And so when they would move out, God wanted to do what? He wanted to dispossess their enemies. He wanted to drive them out before the people. And it was God's presence that was going to do it. It wasn't their own wisdom. It wasn't because they had a superior army. How many know they didn't? They had been slaves. They didn't know anything about war. As a matter of fact, God even brought them certain directions away from areas where they would encounter war. But in the midst of that, God also gave them victory, because as they got up and as Moses said, arise, O Lord, right? Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Let them flee from before you as smoke is driven away and as wax melts before the fire. Amen? So drive them away, Lord. And you know what? The same thing is true in our lives today. When we rise up out of bed in the morning, we say, let God arise in my life. Let His enemies be scattered. Lord, let them flee from before you. I'm following Jesus. How many know the enemy doesn't mess with Jesus? And if we're tethered to Him, amen, we're yoked to Him, we're walking with Him, we're trusting in Him, the enemy can't touch you there. He can try to whisper in your ear, but you can just tell him, get out of here. I'm with the man. Amen. I'm with Jesus. I'm going to listen to what he says and stay yoked together with him. So thanksgiving is something that was so important for Israel in the wilderness, to remember God's faithfulness so that they would be able to authentically praise God for his goodness. It's the same thing is true when we become unthankful and we begin to forget the goodness of God because we're so focused on the immediate problems that we have, then we become complainers sometimes. And when we complain, God can't bless you there. You have to repent. You have to change your mind, change your thinking, and you need to start reflecting on the goodness of the Lord. And as I mentioned this morning, all of us have something to be thankful for. It doesn't take a whole lot of looking, amen, to be able to say, God, thank you that I was able to eat something today. Amen. That I've got clothing on my body today. Amen. I've got a roof over my head. There's so much that, you know, that we have to be thankful for. And you know what? God wants us to learn to be thankful in the simplicity of life, too. Are you with me? We can get spoiled sometimes, you know, of having it so good that when we don't have that lavish lifestyle maybe that we once enjoyed, there are many people that are discovering that the lavish lifestyle is going away because of the economy, right? Things are happening and drying up all over the place. How many know that what we're seeing in the natural is what's happening in the spiritual in America? It's a symptom of the spiritual. When a nation is in revival, amen, when we're walking in God, there's a blessing. Our environment is blessed. When a nation sins against God, the land becomes polluted and it defiles the land and the land begins to rebel. And that's what we're seeing happening. And it requires the people of God, the people that are called by his name, you and I, to return to God with all of our heart. It's time for God's people to rise up. Amen. And say, we're taking this nation back. And before we can do that, we got to get ourselves back to walking with God again, to putting him first in all of our lives. I mentioned this morning how churches, they can function independently of God's power. People can function independently of God's power, just relying upon their own ability, their own soul power. Amen? People of the world can do a lot. They can accomplish a lot just in their own soul, in their own abilities that God gave them the abilities, but they can do it independently of God. We have free will. We can do what we want. But God has something greater and superior for us. And it's in the Spirit. And we have to go by faith into that place and receive what he has, so that we can release what he has given into this earth. God wants us to release his kingdom here in the earth. Do you realize that? You know that, don't you? God is waiting for his church to call the kingdom in. Wherever we go, we can call the kingdom of God in. We can displace the enemies. Why? Because it's God's presence that scatters our enemies. And so it's not enough to go to church and do church stuff and play church. We need God's presence. It's God's presence that destroys the enemies. Praise is toxic to the enemy. For what reason? Because praise brings his presence. Thanksgiving. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We go deeper. Begins with thanksgiving, which creates in us a heart of praise. You receive a gift from somebody, you say, thank you. Thank you so much. You're awesome. What did you just do? You gave thanks and praise to a person for doing a good deed to you. When we start to look at the goodness of God in our lives, instead of the problem, we start to magnify the God, amen, of the solution rather than the problem. God is pleased with that because now we're learning to trust him. Now we're finding that he is the one that's going to do battle for us, and he's going to straighten this thing out that you're dealing with. You just got to wait on him and be patient and know that God is true to his word. He wants you to trust him, that if he gives you a promise, he's going to do it. Another thing I want to mention, and this is, I think, where we left off this morning, is if our standard in celebration as a church is based just upon what is humanly possible, then we have missed God. If our standard as a church is just doing what is humanly possible, then we have missed God. And can I suggest to you that this is very possible to do? That we can get good at doing church, playing church, and miss God. And if we miss God, then we've missed everything. There's no point. Overcomers are those who realize that apart from God's power, there is no real victory over the enemy. Many good works can be done in the natural, would you agree? But it's the power of God that destroys the works of the enemy. The people of Jesus' day, they could not deny the miracles that they saw him do. Do you know that many people believed on Jesus when they saw the miracles? John 2:23, but when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. Oh. You see, this mentality, and it's demonic, that infests the church to think that, oh, we don't want to get too carried away about that. We don't want to get too charismatic. We don't want to get too much, involved in God's presence and God's glory and God's power. How many know, folks, this is a work of God's power and his glory, amen, in our midst? Amen. We should be hungry. We should be thirsty for God's presence. Because without his presence, we can do nothing. We should be gluttons for his presence, amen? We should be hungry. We should be thirsty for him who is our righteousness. We should desire him because we realize that the battle is not ours, but it's his. And unless God shows up, there's no victory. There's no severing of old ties. There's no destruction of our old ways. Amen? And there's no scattering of our enemies. Unless God shows up, we will not be able to overcome the obstacles that are coming against us. And if we think that we can just in our own intellect overcome the enemy, we're fooling ourselves. Americans take more medication than any other nation in the earth today. We're on drugs. And these are prescription drugs, most of them. We're relying on these things. And God says, come up higher. You need to get out of the chicken yard. Come on up with the eagles. Get my perspective on this thing, you'll find out that I'm big enough to take care of you. I'm going to say something tonight. I just did anyways. But can I suggest to you that sometimes people are choking down all these drugs, you know, sometimes psychotropic drugs and or whatever. What are the other ones that you take for mental illness and they're taking these drugs, okay? And yet, in some cases, you know, whatever it might be, the people simply need deliverance. And yet, science doesn't recognize that. Doctors don't recognize that. But we should, because we're God's people, and Jesus taught us about demons, amen? And that we are to cast them out. And in some cases, people don't need more drugs. Are you with me? They need the devil cast out. But many churches today, they don't believe that. They don't teach that. Instead, they just say, well, go see the psychiatrist or go take some more drugs. Do you know why the drugs are working sometimes for people that are demonized? It's because their minds are so messed up, the devil can't even use them. He puts their mind to sleep. That's what they do. I heard a testimony of a witch say that. She said that, you know, if she was straight, the devil could do a lot more through her than the people or the, you know, that were running around with the black and the, you know, the pentagrams and getting stoned and getting high and drunk. Well, the devil couldn't do as much through them. Why? Because he needs a vessel just like Jesus needs us. And so people are just basically they shut them down through drugs so that there seems to be at least some sense of, you know, civility to their lives. And yet, often, and not every case, I'm not saying just because God, you know, you're taking some drugs to help you with some problems, that is demonic, but it can be, and often I believe it is, and somebody needs to come and to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what is the root of this problem, get to that, and tell the devil, you are illegal, you need to go. You're trespassing on God's property now. If a person has been led through repentance, they've come to God, they've confessed their sins, they've renounced their sins, now they are candidates for God's delivering power in their lives. And now they just simply need to take authority over the enemies and say, in the name of Jesus, now you go. You break the legal access and they have to go. You see, praise does that. Praise brings God's presence. And where God's presence is, like I mentioned this morning, if you get an atmosphere of praise, God inhabits praise. And when His glory comes down, amen. Often, has anybody ever sensed that something has left you, so there's been a deliverance, or you got that monkey off your back? I have. When you've been in the atmosphere of praise. Why is that? Because God is in the house, and He's a deliverer. And sometimes you can just squeeze them devils right out. When you open your heart and you begin to give praise and give your whole being, your whole self to God, you worship Him with all your heart, then you're allowing access for Him to have all of you. And often you don't even have to go through deliverance because God will set you free as you open your life and say, Jesus, you can have all of me. I'm willing to obey now. I'm willing to cooperate with you. If I need to repent, I'm going to repent. If I need to get something right, I'm going to get it right because I don't want the devil having any access to me anymore because he don't like me. He's messing me up. I got to get him out. I'm going to get it right. When the lives are saved, when people's lives are saved, when people are changed, when the sick are healed, when those who are bound by devils are freed, when marriages and families are restored, when the gospel is preached by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, then we are experiencing the power of the resurrection life of God, the kingdom of heaven among you. How many know that we should be leaving and expecting and seeing God's delivering power here in our midst? People getting free, amen? Mental illness being freed, amen? People being set free in their minds. Come on, say amen, make me feel good. You see, so often we just throw the towel in. We don't want to fight, you know. We just kind of want to lay by the wayside and hope it'll all go away, you know. We think that Jesus is going to just drag us into our destiny. Are you with me? That somehow we're yoked to Him, He's just going to drag us. No, you're going to have to walk by faith. You're going to have to walk with Him through this. And when you go through this journey and you're yoked up with Jesus, at first He's going to be doing most of the pulling. But all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself in a place in your life where now you're doing more pulling than you used to do. Now you're getting stronger and you're learning to walk by faith. And even if you don't feel God's presence, you know because you believe that He's with you and wouldn't leave you. I'll tell you, folks, I have those moments where I feel dry as dust, but I don't give up because I know my Jesus is with me and He's for me. Amen? Hallelujah. And we walk through the valley. At times we go through dry periods at times, but how many know the dry seasons are important in our lives as well? Hallelujah. Come on, if rain is falling on the land continually, you have a problem. But you need a combination. And I know we just love those times of refreshing in His presence. And I've never been disappointed when we've really set ourselves to go the extra mile, to praise Him, to worship Him, to seek Him. You know, sometimes you walk right in to the house here and it's like, oh yeah, it's good. God's in the house already. Something's going to happen tonight. Are you with me? And not too often, but once in a while you walk in here and just kind of say, it's a little bit stiff and starchy in here this morning. So we're going to have to stir up the nest here and get the demons out of here Amen. Because sometimes they'll come in and they'll try to bring oppression and tiredness and all kinds of stuff on God's people. And that's when we say, okay, let God arise in our midst. Through what? The praises of His people. And as we lift up praise together and we keep praising, it's toxic to the enemy, and eventually he says, we got to get out of here. I can't stand it anymore. Amen. I've had this person oppressed for a long time, and they discovered, you know, that I don't have to be oppressed anymore. I can be free. I just need to get the atmosphere of heaven in my life and in my environment by doing what? By giving God praise. I don't have to wait to go to church to give God praise. We should be walking in that. Amen. But when we're doing that individually and then we come together corporately, it is what? Glorious. Amen. And I love this, and I'm going to finish with this tonight, but to the church, really speaking to Israel, but is also speaking to the Jew and the Gentile here in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. Because you and I are grafted in to Christ. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. Folks, do you see it? Do you see the darkness encroaching? Do you see the darkness upon the people? Do you understand what He's saying here? This is our time to shine. This is our time to rise up and be the light. How many know that you and I were designed for darkness in the sense that a light needs to be in darkness, amen, to be seen? And where the light is, the darkness has to flee. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And we need to simply rise and shine, for our light has come. Christ will give you light, amen. He's our light. Our light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Again, the deep darkness will come upon the people. It shall cover the earth. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. In other words, people are noticing the difference between those who follow Jesus and those who do not. And there needs to be a distinction. And the distinction is not that I'm just so good and you're so bad. Are you with me? That we're walking around like goody-goody two-shoes. Self-righteous snobs. No. Is that the glory of God is seen on the people of God. Amen? Because we are saturated. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the light of Christ will be seen. There is a contrast between light and darkness. And yes, the darkness is not going to understand it. But there are those who are wandering in darkness who are looking for that light. And they're going to see the city on a hill that cannot be hid. Amen? And they're going to say, there's someone who knows God. There's someone that can get a hold of God for me. And you may say, well, nobody seems to be listening right now. Give it some time, folks. God is waking up America. God is waking up, and He's breaking up the fallow ground of hardened hearts. And we're praying, God, break up the fallow ground of these hardened hearts around us. Get them ready, Lord God, for the seed of Your word. And there's going to be a cry of desperation. And they're going to be looking for somebody who's been walking through this muck and this mire victoriously, because they're clothed in God's glory. His presence goes before them. And as they go, they say, arise, O Lord. Amen. Let God, Yahweh, arise and His enemies be scattered. Let them flee from before Him. Lord, drive them away. And they're going to see something different about you and I. And even though they may criticize and mock now, the time comes when they're going to be looking for someone who knows God and say, what must I do to be saved? How many know they knew something was different about the apostles? They stood out. They knew that they had been with Jesus. And the same thing is true about us. When we spend time with Jesus, people know. We've been with Jesus. They know something is different. There's a light in your eyes. There's a peace in your life. There's fruit. And they're like, I want some of that. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want what you have. So God says, get into my presence. Amen. Cast off the yoke of oppression. Quit focusing on your problems. When you have a problem, you just say, Lord, how are we going to do this one together? Because He's going to walk you through it because you're yoked with Him. And when people see you coming through your problems, not complaining, but giving thanks and praise to God for His goodness, they're going to say, wow, how can you do that? Because we know God's ways. Because we know God is with us. God is for us. And God has promised to work all things together for the good to them that love the Lord. Amen. That's a promise. God bless you. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise to never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that your presence goes with us and that you go before us. And Lord God, as we agree with your word and we begin to decree, and we begin to speak out, Lord, the same word that Moses spoke, let God arise and his enemies be scattered, that we will see them flee from before us because you will drive them away. Lord, help us to stay close to you, to keep our eyes on you and to follow in your footsteps every day. Because where you go is life. You are the life. Hallelujah.